Father, we're just thankful that we can be here. And we're so thankful, Lord, that we lay everything aside. We only want your word that you have exalted above your very name, richly moving into our hearts. And Lord, that it just plants more seed there and it brings forth more fruit. Help me tonight, Lord, as my mind is a bit scattered. Just be with me and use me, Lord, and let the fogginess just lift and let me hear your voice perfectly. Lord, bless your people. Bless those that are listening online right now. And Lord, move. Move upon your people tonight and touch them in every area of their need. I thank you, Lord, that you're always so real to us. Now be with us now. In Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Exodus. We're in chapter 18 tonight. A chapter that is often so quickly overlooked by many, many teachers, and I do not fault them for that. But the Old Testament is a rich, rich book, and you can't understand, and you need to have that to understand the new, amen? And so it's vital that we do that. Remember that Exodus, there in Exodus 18, but the whole book of Exodus is the way out of slavery. It's the way out of bondage. And they came out, remember the children of Israel, they came out of Egypt by following the Lord. They came out by the blood of the Lamb. They came baptized there into the Red Sea and into that new life. And boy, they were led by a cloud by day, pillar of fire by night. Imagine eating manna every morning and quails in the evening. God was taking care of them. And we, like the children of Israel, we're moving forward in the power of another. Amen? In the power of the Holy Spirit. So last week we learned that they drank from that rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. And of course, it was smitten. The rock was smitten by Moses, and it brought forth water. And like Jesus died on the cross for us, and now that we believe in him, he's brought forth everlasting life into our hearts. And that water, of course, that living water, the life of the Holy Spirit. So, chapter 18, I believe, is probably one of the most misunderstood, least taught, and difficult chapters in the book of Exodus. So tonight I want to talk to you about Jethro's advice. Because you know what? All of us are going to take someone's advice. Amen? I promise you, everybody in the world, you turn on the radio, they're offering you advice. You turn on the TV, they're giving you advice. Wherever you go, you can just be sitting in a restaurant minding your own business and somebody will come up and give you some advice. Amen? So tonight as we look at Exodus 18, let's begin. It says, "And Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel, his people, that the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her back." In other words, after Moses had sent her back, "and with her two sons, of whom the name of one was Gershom, for he said, 'I've been a stranger,' or literally a temporary resident in a foreign land. And the name of the other was Eleazar, which means 'God is my help.' For he said, 'The Lord God, the God of my father, was my help and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh.'" So Jethro, after hearing all that God had done for Moses and all the children of Israel. Now this guy, listen, he was determined to see Moses. Not only was he determined to see Moses, he was determined to reunite the family, if you will. And remember back in Exodus chapter 4, remember Zipporah, his wife, she was upset with him because of the circumcision of her son. Remember, she circumcised one of her son and then threw the foreskin there at the feet of Moses and said, "You are a bloody husband unto me." And the next thing we knew, Moses had sent her home, packing, if you will, and she went back to see her dad there. So we don't know all that's going on there, but we do know this, that God says he doesn't give us the name of Zipporah. It doesn't tell us what that name means. We know it means bird. And Jethro means his abundance. But God didn't tell us that. But he did want us to know the name of his two sons, Moses' two sons, because Moses held that close to his heart. Because Moses said, "I am a temporary resident in the world that I'm living, and God is the only help I'll ever have." Amen? And God is the only help that we will ever have and ever need. And we need to trust in him with all of our heart. And it says in verse 5, "And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife to Moses in the wilderness, where he was encamped at the mountain of God. So he's right there close to Mount Sinai. And now he had said, in other words, he had sent a messenger or someone to Moses. He had said to Moses, I, your father-in-law, Jethro, am coming to you with your wife. And look what he says, her, not his, her two sons with her. So Moses went out to meet his father-in-law, and look what Moses did. He bowed down and he kissed him, and they asked each other about their well-being, and they went into the tent. Isn't it funny that he didn't say a word to Zipporah? In other words, he didn't even offer her a kiss, you know. As a matter of fact, we can say goodbye to Zipporah, don't know why, but she's never ever mentioned again in the Bible. And matter of fact, when we get over to, I believe it's old Numbers 12, we'll find that Moses is remarried and he's married to an Ethiopian woman. And so we don't really know what happened with Zipporah. And it says in verse 8, and Moses told his father-in-law, and I love this, all that the Lord had done to Pharaoh. Now, would that be a story? And all that the God had done to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and all the hardship that had come upon them the way, and how the Lord had delivered them. I'd love to be in that tent that night, wouldn't you? Just listening to Moses, I mean, that must have been an all-night meeting, believe me. Now, think about this for a moment. And Moses, when he left Egypt after killing the Egyptian, he fled. Remember, he went into Midian. There he met Zipporah, and he married her. And, of course, he lived 40 years on the backside of the desert. So he and Jethro had probably a very tight relationship. But I want to ask you a question. Now, what would you do tonight when you get home, if your son-in-law dropped in and said, hey, listen, God has called me to go into Egypt, go back to Egypt, and I'm going to deliver the entire children of Israel out of bondage, and I'm going to defeat Pharaoh and do what God says. Would you think that maybe the cheese has slid off the cracker a little bit? You know what I'm trying to say. Well, so I'm sure that once Jethro heard all that God had done, he said, I have got to go find Moses, and I've got to find out what's going on. And look what happened in verse 9. And then Jethro rejoiced for all the good which the Lord had done for Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Jethro said, blessed be the Lord, who has delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of Pharaoh, and who has delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now watch verse 11, talking about Jethro now, talking about Jethro's advice. Jethro says, now I know that the Lord is greater than all the gods, for in the very thing in which they behaved proudly, or literally acted presumptuously, he, meaning God, was above them. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, offered a burnt offering to God, okay? And then offered other sacrifices to offer to God. And Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. Now listen carefully. Jethro was a priest of Midian. He was a Midianite. And the Midianites were awful idolaters, okay? And later, you'll find out that the Midianites were just terrible enemies of Israel. Now, all of a sudden, Jethro, this priest of Midian, he is rejoicing with all that God has done. He's blessing the Lord. And he even says, let me say it again. He says, now I know that the Lord is greater than all the gods. He offers all these sacrifices. He acknowledges that God is greater. But does his acknowledgement mean that he's a believer? No, we don't know if he's a believer, okay? And the reason I say that, in verse 27, which is the last verse of this chapter, we find that Jethro he's leaving. He's departing. He's going back to his own people. He doesn't stay with the people of God, which to me is very important. Now, look at verse 13 so we can get into our text tonight. It says, and so it was on the next day, the very next day, that Moses set to judge or render decisions to the people. And the people stood before Moses from morning until evening. How'd you have to wait in line for him, huh? And so when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did for the people, he said, what is this thing that you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit and all the people stand before you from morning to evening. And Moses said to his father-in-law, well, because the people come to me to inquire of God. And when they have a difficulty, they just come to me and I judge or I render decisions between one and another. And I make known the statutes of God and his laws. So Moses' father-in-law said to him, Moses' father-in-law Jethro said to him, the thing that you do is not good. I'm going to ask you a question. Whenever you study the Bible, it's great to ask questions. Amen? Now, here's my first question. Jethro, I understand. So this thing is not good that Moses is doing. My question is, how do you know it's not good? Do you understand? I mean, is it because, was it just a simple observation? And another thing that I'd have to ask is, I want to know who's really speaking here. Is it a priest of God now, or is it still the priest of Midian? Are you following me? Boy, it's important to really get this. Is it not good because God told Jethro it wasn't good? Is it not good because Jethro prayed and God spoke to his heart? Now listen, this is very important because I'm telling you about people all the time come up and tell me what to do. Especially my wife. Okay? And that's okay. But listen to me very carefully. I want you to study the first 17 chapters of the book of Exodus, and I want you to find out who was leading Moses the whole time. Listen to me now. 17 chapters of the book of Exodus, the first 17 chapters, God led Moses by direct revelation. Are you understanding me? I mean, God spoke to him. Jethro's in town, his father-in-law. I mean, we love our father-in-laws and our mother-in-laws, right? We have one truthful person at church tonight. No, of course we do. But listen to me. Jethro had been in town one day. One day, and he is already ready to change everything that Moses is doing. Now, look at verse 18. It says, now both, Jethro continues his advice now. He says, now both you and these people who are with you will surely wear yourselves out. For this thing, the thing that Moses was doing, is too much for you, Moses. You're not able to perform it by yourself. That's kind of like whenever, you know, when you get older and you're on a ladder, your wife, she doesn't trust you anymore, and she comes out and holds your arm. Never mind. Now, let me say something to you. It says you're going to be worn out. You're not able to do it yourself. Did you know that this is the exact opposite of what God told Moses? Back in Exodus chapter 3, he says, I am that I am has sent you. In other words, I'll be your help. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Just trust in me. Amen? And I think about this all of a sudden, you know, think of the children of Israel when they finally sinned and God says, you know what, you're going to wander in the desert for 40 years. You know what, their clothes didn't wear out and their shoes didn't wear out. I think God is able to take care of whatever. Amen? And then think about this. All of a sudden, Jethro, he was rejoicing back in verse 9 and 10, I believe it was, talking about how great God was and all the wonderful things and giving him offerings. And now all of a sudden, he doesn't believe that God is able to keep Moses going. Now, I'm not beating up Jethro. He's a good man. He loves Moses. But I look at that and I say, whoa. There's something not right here. It doesn't settle with me in my heart. Now look at verse 19. Jethro says, now listen to what? My voice, and I will give you counsel. That word counsel there in the Hebrew means I will give you advice. Matter of fact, you'll probably find that in the middle column there, the center column there of your Bible. You'll see a little number probably by the word counsel. If you look, it says advice in the center column. So I'll give you advice, Moses, and God will be with you now. Stand before God for the people so that you may bring difficulties to God. In other words, keep doing what you're doing. And you'll teach them to the statutes and the laws and show them in the way in which they must walk and the work that they must do. Moreover, you shall select from all the people able men. That's good. Men of strength. Nothing wrong with that. People that such as fear God. Boy, that's the beginning of wisdom. Amen. And he says also men of truth, hating covetousness. In other words, people that are not going to be bribed. And place such over them to be rulers of thousands, ruler of hundreds, ruler of fifties, ruler of tens, and let them judge the people at all times. Then it will be that every great matter that they bring to you, but every small matter they themselves shall judge. So it will be easier for you, and for they will bear the burden with you. If you do this thing, and here's a key now, and God so commands you, then you'll be able to endure, and all this people will also go to their place in peace. Now listen very carefully. Isn't that great advice? I mean, listen, I look at that and I say, that is great advice. I mean, Jethro is as sincere as you can be. And you know what? People come up to you and they give you great advice, and it may sound like great advice, but you know what? It may not be God's advice. Do you understand what I'm getting at? And so I look at this and I say, okay, Jethro, I know you're sincere. And you know what? Would this save a lot of time? Oh, man, do we need that? Would this expedite the people's issues, the people's problems? I say, man, yes, it would. And so I would say, man, this sounds like wisdom to me. That's a great idea. Maybe that's a God idea. That's wonderful advice. You know, it's great for leaders. All leaders should have the ability to receive instruction from someone else and give instruction. Amen? That's very important. We should always be teachable. And Moses is certainly a teachable person. He's a very humble man. God called him the most humble man that ever lived. And so we know here. But I need to ask you a question. Was Moses lacking in practical wisdom? Boy, I mean, that's what I'm looking at. I'm going, hey, Moses, I said, why didn't you think of this? Is this such a great idea, right? I mean, was he lacking? I mean, did Jethro need to teach Moses the skill of delegation? No. Listen to what the Bible says about Moses. It says in Acts 7:22, and Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. Do you know how smart he was? How much he understood, how much he knew. He was mighty in word and mighty in deeds. Listen, Moses was in line then to be the next Pharaoh, because Pharaoh's daughter had brought him in as her own son. Are you following me? So I can say, you know what? This doesn't sound right to me, because Moses wasn't, surely if this was something that he was supposed to be doing, he would have already done that. So at first glance, on the surface, you know, we can say, you know what? This is great advice. It's a great plan. And the thing is, if I were Moses, I'd just say, you bet, I'm sick of all these people. I can't deal with it anymore. I'm tired of hearing all these complaints. But I have a question. Why didn't God tell Moses? And better yet, why didn't Moses go to God and tell God about this? Amen? You remember what it says about Moses and the Lord? Listen to Exodus 33:11. It says, so the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. Think about that. Listen, why I say to myself, you know what? Surely God would have spoken to him if God wanted it changed. Are you following me? I mean, I look at that and say, you know, God hadn't given Moses any instruction about this. And listen, here's what we need to say right now to ourselves about advice and everything that we receive today in this life. Is it flesh or is it spirit? Amen? In other words, is it the wisdom of the world, which is foolishness to God? There's only two types of wisdom in this world. The world's wisdom and God's wisdom. We're either going to walk in one or the other. Amen? I don't want the advice of the world. God says it's foolishness. It's never going to take us to any place. It's never going to move us forward. So I look at this and I say, whoa, I don't want any of that. Now, the other thing is that did God call Moses? Now, chapter 18 is hard to teach. That's why I have to ask all these questions. Did God call Moses because of his outstanding abilities? No. He said, remember what Moses said? Oh, who am I? I can't even talk right. You know, I'm stuttering and whatever it was. You better get somebody else, Lord. He said, oh, God said, oh, Moses, be quiet. You know, who made man's mouth? Huh? I did. I can do anything. He finally complained so much. He said, okay, look down there. Who's coming? Aaron, your brother. I'll make him. Come here, Aaron. You're going to work with your brother, you know? Well, I tell you, no, Moses didn't have anything going for him per se. I mean, he was a great man, don't get me wrong. But you know, the question is this. You know what I found out in my life is that God is not limited by my weaknesses. God is not limited by my inabilities. Amen. No, no, no. Listen, God never asked Moses to deliver them. He said, I'm going to send you and I'll deliver them through you, right? He never asked him to do that at all. He never told Moses, I want you, Moses, work real hard. Now you're going to have to deliver the children of Israel in your own strength and by your own wisdom. God never, ever asked Moses to bear the pressures of the people alone, and he never asked you to do it either. No. Listen, Jethro's advice, I know, was sincere. And let me say something else. I know that there are a lot of Bible teachers that if they listened to me tonight, they would disagree with my interpretation of chapter 18, which I certainly give them the benefit to do so. I mean, and it's rightly so. But I see it differently. See, Jethro's advice was sincere, but it was counterproductive, and I'm going to prove that to you. You know, in verse 21, and I agree with verse 21, it says, moreover, Jethro said, select from all the people, able men. That's a great thing. You need to have that. Select what? Men that fear God. You've got to have people that fear the Lord around you. Amen? That's a great thing. You have to have men of truth. Ooh, who would want a bunch of liars around you? And then he said, people that are not covetousness, because see, if they start judging the people, they could be taking bribes from the people and go with a false decision or render a false decision. So these are great things. But here's the problem. There's something that's missing. You know, and that's what's missing with many the methods in the church today. You know, the church, people try to run the church. And I know that the church, they look at it as a business. I've never looked at it that way. I've never. The church is not a business to me. The church belongs to Jesus Christ. He's the head. Amen. I'm an under shepherd. He's a chief shepherd of the sheep. No, I a business. Oh, you have to know how to count. I think you need to know that there's something in the bank and you need to pay your bills. Yes, and all that. But you know what? To have a bunch of people on a church board that are just business people, no offense to anyone. I want people that are spirit filled. I want people that hear God. I want people that pray. Amen. I want people that fear God, that say, God, we want your will, not my will, not what anyone wants, but what you want, what you want. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. The church and heaven in perfect agreement. Oh my gosh, when we walk in agreement with God, who in the world could stop us? Amen? That's right. So I look at this and I say, gosh, those are great characteristics and we need that. But you know what? They had one thing that was missing. And you know what was missing? The Holy Spirit of God was not upon them. Now that's why Jethro's advice didn't work. Now, let me prove that to you. I want you to hold your place, and I want you to turn to Numbers, okay? Right, just a couple of books, or one book, two books. Numbers chapter 11, and let me show you something, okay? Or let the Lord show you. There we go. Yeah, Numbers 11. And I know it was a bad choice, a bad advice. Now, we find here in chapter 11 of Numbers, the children of Israel, they're complaining again, okay? And, you know, they're saying, oh, I want to go back to Egypt. You know, there was plenty of fish, there was plenty of melons, there was plenty of onions and leeks and garlics, and boy, did they have bad breath. You know what I mean? So there was a lot of all that junk there, and they were saying, oh, there's nothing before our eyes except this manna. In other words, they were despising God's provision. They were complaining again. Now, look at verse 10 of Numbers 11. It says, then Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, everyone at the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord was greatly aroused, and Moses was also displeased. So Moses said to the Lord, now watch this, why have you afflicted your servant? And why have I not found favor in your sight that you have laid the burden of all these people on me? I've prayed that prayer before. No, I'm just teasing. I'm just teasing. I'm just joking. He says, I love what, Moses is pouring his heart out to God. He says, verse 12, did I conceive these people? I mean, I'm not their parent. He said, did I beget them? And you should say to me, carry them in your bosom as a guardian carries a nursing child to the land which you swore to their fathers. Where am I to get meat to give all these people? For they weep all over me, saying, give us meat that we may eat. Listen to what he says. I'm not able to bear all these people alone because the burden is too heavy for me. Now, if you treat me like this, please kill me here and now. Listen, isn't Moses great? I mean, he's honest. And he says, and if I have found favor in your sight, he says, well, then do not let me see my wretchedness. Now, listen, Moses, why didn't he say that all the way back to 2 years ago? Are you listening to me? He didn't go to the Lord. He didn't ask the Lord. He was doing fine. He was just doing whatever God wanted him to do. Amen. He didn't mind sitting there judging the people. It had not become that burden to him yet. But when it finally became a burden to him, what did he do? He talked to his God, who treated him as a friend. Amen. Listen, that's the way to pray. When you pray, are you honest with God? Listen, I want you to let you know, I tell God the way I feel, and because, you know, you can't hide anything from him anyway. He's going, why don't you tell me how you really feel, Bill? You know, he said, you're not telling me the truth. You know, tell me how you really feel. Well, that's sometimes like Moses. You know, just kill me. Get it over with. Take me to heaven, man. God loves us so much, and he's pouring out his heart. And so Jethro's advice didn't work back then. Are you listening to me? Had it worked, this wouldn't be happening. You see what I'm getting at? Now watch this. Watch this right now. Look at verse 16 with me. In Numbers 11, verse 16. So the Lord said to Moses, all right, gather to me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them to the tabernacle of meeting, that they may stand there with you. Then I will come down and talk with you there. And look what God said he would do. I will take of the, what? The Spirit. You see that capital S? That's the Holy Spirit. I will take of the Holy Spirit that is upon you, Moses, and put the same Spirit upon them. And they shall bear the burden of the people with you, that you may not bear it yourself alone. Go to verse 24 now. So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people and placed them around the tabernacle. And then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him. And look what God did. And he took of the Spirit that was upon Moses, and he placed, you need to underline this, the what? The same Spirit that he took off of Moses, okay? It says the same upon the 70 elders, and it happened when the Spirit rested upon them that they prophesied, although they never did so again. They prophesied why? To prove to the children of Israel that God's Holy Spirit had now come upon them. Did not come in them. It came upon them. Now listen, this right here tells me something, that Jethro's advice was sincere and it was really good advice. But the fact of the matter is, the Spirit of God did not rest upon those men in Exodus 18. Amen? That's so important that we see that tonight, because listen, they needed divine empowerment, and you and I, we need divine empowerment as well. You know what? There was no more value in the flesh of 70 men than in the flesh of just that one man, Moses. No more value. God took that same Spirit. Now listen, only the power of God and only by His Spirit can we live in this life. I'm telling you what it's saying, Galatians, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect in the flesh? Oh, church, listen, we need to walk in the Spirit. We need to be filled with the Spirit. We need to drink of the Spirit every day. We need to move in the Spirit. We need to let the Spirit renew our minds and our hearts and flood us daily. Amen? That's what's so important about studying the Old Testament, studying out the Word of God to see what's going on. Remember what Jesus said in John 6:33. He said, it's the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. You know what? People try with all of their hearts to make something happen. You know what? If you make something happen in the flesh, that's all it is flesh. If you raise your hands in the flesh, it's just flesh. But when God wants you to raise your hand and you raise your hand and you clap and you shout to the Lord and it's the Holy Spirit, it's real. We don't want to be a bunch of phonies. We need to find God. And I'll tell you, we need to find Him here at this place called Calvary Chapel. And we need to start moving with His power and His anointing. That's exactly what's needed in all of our lives. We can't do the flesh. Well, you know what will happen? Anything you build in the flesh, you're going to have to sustain in the flesh. But when the Spirit builds us, let me tell you something. You know who started this church? Not me. The Holy Spirit. Do you understand? You know why this church is continuing? The Holy Spirit of God. It's His church. You know why? LNFI, the charity. You know who started that? The charity? It wasn't me. It's the Holy Spirit of God. Do you know why it's being sustained? Because of God. See, it's not a work of the flesh. It's a work of the Spirit. The flesh profits nothing. The wisdom of this world, loved one, listen. Oh, there's so much advice out there. And you know what? Don't you grow tired of all the new methods? You know what I grow tired of? Oh, I don't want to tell you. You don't want to hear my sad story tonight, do you? Well, you're not going to, so don't worry about it. E.M. Bounds said, and I love E.M. Bounds, you need to, if you've never read Power for Prayer, oh my gosh, you need to. I used to ask the staff to read that once a month. Incredible book on prayer. One of the greatest books ever written on prayer. E.M. Bounds said, the church is looking for better methods. And then he says, men are God's methods. Amen? See, we don't need better methods. We need get the giftings of God where God places His hand upon you. Later on, when we start seeing the tabernacle being built, remember, what does God do? He puts His Spirit upon people so there'll be incredible artisans and workers of bronze and so forth. Listen, the giftings of God come from the Spirit of God. And they are rich. They are abundant. Your gift that's in you is if you're not operating and doing what God has called you to do, listen, you need to. All you have to do is step out. And then that gift in you is like a seed. And you just keep watering it and watering it by stepping out. And all of a sudden it starts blooming. That's what God wants. The Bible tells us in Ezekiel 22:30, it said this. It says, God says, I sought for a man among them who would build a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land that I should not destroy it. Listen to what God says. He said, but I found no one. Man, God is looking for you. God is looking for people that's in His body, in His church, to be used in His kingdom. You remember what it says in John 1:6? It says, there was a man sent from God, whose name was John. Listen. The laws of leadership, how we need that today. Nothing happens. John Maxwell said this, nothing happens until someone provides leadership for it. Let me add to that, and leadership for it with those who are empowered by the Spirit of God. They have to be Spirit empowered, not flesh empowered. That's one of the greatest needs in the body today. One of the greatest needs in our nation is Spirit-filled leadership. People who know God and love God. You know, we're sitting here tonight safe and Israel is surrounded by enemies. Matter of fact, Muhammad Ahmadinejad, the president of Iran, remember he just had his national Zionist hate meeting again. And you know what he called for? He called for Israel to be blown off the face of the earth again. Right now, Syria is a slaughterhouse. The things that are going on, the Russians have now put their dock, the Russian Navy has now docked there around Syria. Think of that for a moment. Who is their ally? Russia, China. I'll tell you, I don't know what's happening, but there is a turmoil and a boiling in the Middle East, And I don't know, I would not be surprised if Israel does not attack Iran before the year is out. Before the year is out. We're living in time, so we need to, boy, be in prayer. You see, God wants to reveal things to you in prayer. Amen? So here, this advice, Jethro's advice, I'm going, oh, Jethro, I know you're a good guy, but you know what? The only power that we need, it has to come by the Spirit of God. It says in 1 Corinthians 2:2, let me read to you. Paul says, I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Not personal fear, but fear to tremble about doing God's will. And listen to what he said. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words. Persuasive words. That's the way men do it. That's man's methods. You know, people in the pulpit today, you know, all of us, we've all suffered from trying to find the right topic or something that we should be teaching. But the truth is, we have the whole 66 books. Let's teach them. Amen. So he says, my speech, my preaching were not a persuasive words of human wisdom. I love this. But in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Listen, only the Holy Spirit of God can change a person's life. Only the Holy Spirit of God can cause a person to be born again. Amen? Listen, man's methods can't do that. All the wisdom that man has in this world. I mean, we can put something, I don't know what it's called, I forgot, the Mars rover. You know, it sounds like a candy bar, doesn't it? We can put whatever that little automobile, whatever it is, on Mars. But all of that wisdom, you know, once we, here's the thing, we find, all that you're going to find on Mars is knowledge. Do you understand me? And then what are we going to do? Wisdom is to know what to do with knowledge. Only God, see, God not only gives us knowledge, wisdom is God's knowledge applied to your life. We're going to go up there and say, what is that? Some kind of Martian rock? Oh, it looks like a fossil. Yes, I think it is. Oh my gosh, there's a little Martian on it. No, that's not going to happen. Do you understand? Man, listen. Listen, I had a shot today by the doctor. No, I'm serious. And it just totally wasted me, man. So I am thankful to be standing before you. If you think I'm kidding you, I was praying in my office where I came out. I said, I just don't know, Lord, if I can do it. I said, I will never, never. I had an allergic reaction to this stuff that he gave me. And, oh my gosh, I thought I was in heaven. I had a move of God in the doctor's office, man. I mean, it was incredible, you know? And I haven't been the same since. And I just want to get home and sleep it off, if you don't mind. All right. Now I lost my place. We don't need man's methods. We need the Holy Spirit. Listening to the Holy Spirit. Oh, fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. Having that intimacy with the Holy Spirit. Do you know the Holy Spirit? Do you know that He's not only in you, alongside of you, but He has come upon you and that He desires fellowship with you? Remember what I've always taught, that the best way to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit is every day practice awareness that He's here. He really is here. Do you understand? He's here. He loves you so much. He's like in the book of Genesis. The Spirit was hovering over the darkness, and He's always hovering over our darkness, and He's trying to bring light to every situation that we're in. He's trying to light up your path. And all we have to do is listen to Him and let the Word of God light up in our hearts. Amen? That's what's so important. So we look at all of this, and now let's go back to Exodus here, and let's finish this up. And let's look where we're at. We're at verse 24 in Exodus 18. So Moses, here it is, heeded the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. Didn't say Moses prayed about it. We know that it didn't work. We know that there was more confusion. And Moses chose able men out of Israel, made them heads over people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, fifties, tens. And so they judged the people at all times. Hard cases they brought to Moses, but they judged every small case themselves. And then Moses let his father-in-law depart. Interesting. Let him depart. And he went his way into his own land. Now here's my question. Did Jethro depart as still the priest of Midian, or did he depart as Jethro, the minister of the Lord? Did he go back home? I don't know why he left the children of God, for one thing. But did he go back home, and did he tell people about the real God, about the true and living God? We're not told, and I don't know. But I do know this, that Jethro was sincere, and he was sincerely wrong. Do you remember from the Exodus 18, if we could fast forward in the Bible now about 1,500 years, what group actually grew out of this kind of advice? It was called the Sanhedrin. Remember? Who killed Jesus? The Sanhedrin. Isn't that amazing, the fruit that came from bad advice? Listen to me. The Bible is so rich. It's so full of truth. I don't want anyone's advice except God's advice. Amen? Not that we don't need to help one another. There's wisdom in the multitude of counselors. And we should be partnering with God. We're co-laborers with the Lord, okay? Nothing wrong with getting and partnering with the Lord. We need to do that. We're His ambassadors. But I look at this and I say, well, I don't want any part of that. The Bible tells us in Psalm 1:1, it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel, or literally the advice of the ungodly. Now that ungodly there in Psalm 1:1, the advice of the ungodly, that's not talking about murderers and thieves and things like that. It's talking about the people of the world, the ungodly. We were ungodly once, amen? It's just talking about the people of the world. He says, oh no. He said, blessed. If you want to be blessed, it said, blessed is the man who walks not. You don't do it. You don't take their advice. Nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates on day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall also not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. I want to move forward with the Lord. Amen? Amen. You know, I'm going to close here real quick, but let me just read one little quote from A.W. Tozier. He said this, A.W. Tozier said, you know, I have a little book in my office, and I use it to prop open my window when I need fresh air. And this book has chapters entitled, Finding God Through Science, Finding God Through Art, Finding God Through Nature. And then he said, why should we be trying to find God through the back door? Amen? We don't need to find the Lord that way. Listen to what it says as I close tonight in 1 Corinthians 2:9. But it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has, that's a present fact right now, God has revealed them to us. How? Through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. The deep things of God. Listen to me. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to impart to you. You know, the deep things of God. You know, this 37 years ago today, on a beach in Jacksonville, Florida, a hippie walked up to me and asked me if I wanted to know the truth. And I said, what is the truth? And he says, Jesus Christ, that ye shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Maybe that's my life scripture, John 8:32. I set down a cold Falstaff beer and my Marlboro cigarette. Matter of fact, I think I kept the beer in my hand. It was early in the morning, about 6 o'clock, and the sun was coming up on Jack's Beach. And I prayed that prayer, just a simple prayer, and I was born again. Church, listen to me. The deep things of God. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes should not perish, have everlasting life. You know what? You know that scripture by heart. You have it memorized. But may I say that that scripture 37 years ago embraced my heart. But now, 37 years later, it's much deeper. Are you listening to me? You see, God wants to show you the deep things of God. The Holy Spirit, rather, wants to show you the deep things of God. He wants to take you deeper into the Word. He wants you to really get a firm grasp on it. And the only way to do that is the Holy Spirit. See, the deep things of God do not come, loved one, by just observing life and walking through life. No, no, no. They come only by the Holy Spirit. Only by the Holy Spirit. Only by the Holy Spirit. And I'm thankful that He's present with us. Amen. Father, we love You tonight. And we praise You tonight. I thank You for enabling me to get through this time of teaching. I thank You for all those who came tonight and missed their dinner, Lord, or was fortunate enough to have dinner in the cafe. I thank You, Lord, that You want to show us the deep things and that, Lord, we're tired of living in the shallowness of living water. We don't want to be in the shallow end of the living water anymore in this place. Oh, Lord, we want to move head first into the rivers of living water. We want to know the deep things of God. We want You to capture our hearts, Lord, and let the world release us from thinking about the world and loving parts of the world or whatever. Somehow, some way, invade this church with Your grace and Your joy and Your peace. The things that You've already given to us, Lord, let them become not only that present fact but a present reality. We're not going to play church here. We're going to move forward. We're going to move forward in the power of the Holy Spirit. We're going to practice awareness. We're going to know that You're always with us, always leading us, always guiding us into all truth. Father, there is no one like You. There is no one like Your Son. And there is no one like the Holy Spirit. Bless Your people tonight, Father. Those that don't know You, may they cry out right now in their seats and just say, "Save me, Father. Jesus, be my Lord. Come into my heart." I pray, Lord, that those that are ill, that You would touch and heal their bodies just by Your mercy, just by Your grace, just by Your goodness. I thank You for them, Lord. In Jesus' name. And the church says, amen.